Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday, November 5th, 2009. This is your host, Doug Kelly, here with Grant Rubendunst.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday night.
And tonight we're going to be talking about what falls under the umbrella of parapsychology. And to help us with that is our very own Kevin Costa. Hey, Kevin.
Hi there, everybody.
Hey, Kevin. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Yeah,
thanks.
Kevin's been on the show a couple times before. He's, of course, board member for Paranexus. And he has a, universal world-class PhD top dog doctorate in parapsychology. Is that right? He doesn't even know what to say.
Yes.
You honor me, sir. Okay, well, you do have a minor in parapsychology.
I have a master's in humanistic psychology with a minor in parapsychology.
Yeah.
It's under Dr. Roll.
The eminent Dr. Roll.
Yes, the eminent Dr. Roll. He's retired now. But
I was just trying to, beef it up there.
For folks in their audience, I don't know if they recall all the way back to one of our early shows, and we were fortunate enough to have Dr. Roll on the show through Kevin's assistance. But Dr. Roll did a wonderful show with us, and, he did some research into psychokinesis that's outstanding and really contributed to the field for many, many years. And got a lot to thank Dr. Roll for.
Definitely.
Yeah, now, as we get started in our program tonight, we're having Block Talk Radio is having some issues apparently tonight. At least it is for me. I can't even get to the switchboard, so I'm not in the chat room yet. And so we're going to keep working on that, but apparently everybody can still hear the show. If you have questions, go ahead and post them in the chat room. I'm sure I'll get in there eventually. And if you have questions, we will let you know when we can take those calls. But let's get the conversation started. Kevin, just kind of as a refresher for some of our audience who may not be completely familiar with parapsychology, especially those who may have been involved in haunting type research, they may not really understand what parapsychology is all about or how it differs from typical haunting research. Can you kind of give us just a brief overview?
Well, parapsychology primarily is kind of the study of more of the human aspects, the human mind, anomalous activities and things that happen, but more related to the human mind, the consciousness, subconsciousness, and how that affects your surroundings, your environment, and so forth. As Grant just mentioned with Dr. Roll, psychokinesis, definitely, even though we think that this is poltergeist activities and so forth, Dr. Roll viewed it as becoming more from the individual, a human aspect, an individual that was manipulating the environment, whether it be done consciously or subconsciously. So I think parapsychology basically is that. It's more the human aspects behind the anomalous events.
And it's also, don't you think, Kevin, to a large degree, it also has to do with, as you just kind of alluded to, human perception. of that situation. But, you know, when Dr. Roll was here, for me, that when we interviewed him, and I know Doug and I kicked this around for many days afterwards, for me it was really kind of an epiphany, because I always kind of thought that some of this energy might be emanating from humans, or maybe something that we have innately, but we just don't know how to control or harness. And I remember him talking about it, and it was like he objected to the word paranormal.
Correct.
And,
yeah, he did.
And when he said that, and I think Doug asked him why, and he said, well, it could simply be something normal. It was just like, wow. You know, it's not that we haven't all thought about that before, but if we don't really understand that we're using those powers unconsciously, then we could easily misinterpret what's happening around, especially with psychokinetic events,
mm-hmm.
that we would attribute it to a demon, a ghost, whatever, when in reality, if we do that, we're no different than the caveman who's sticking his head in the cave, deeper in the cave, when a bolt of lightning flashes and thunder rolls a few minutes later.
Right, yeah. No, I agree 100%. I mean, it definitely is, you know, the... all of it. I mean, the PSI, when you think of all the different things that have been tested from Rhine and the Duke University all the way up, I mean, in the past, it was always looking at it in a researchable, scientific way, an empirical way of measurement and so forth. And I think that, in truthfulness, I think it's coming out now that it's more of almost like an evolution of the mind, you know, that we're finally realizing that these are possibly just steps in our evolution of our consciousness, how we're developing.
And it would also seem, too, that parapsychology, that fit, there seems to be like kind of a nice fit there with quantum physics,
mm-hmm.
that gives it, for I think the folks in the parapsychology community, something they can sink their teeth into a little bit better than just saying, you know, it's out there in the ether.
Well, I think it's basically giving him credibility, finally, you know, in some respects.
Because everybody, as everybody knows, nobody understands quantum physics. It's so abstract and so difficult.
I know.
I remember whoever it was, Paul Dirac or whatever his name was, and I probably don't have his name right, said, I don't even understand it. He was like one of the most eminent physicists, you know, but, you know, Niels Bohr, that's who it was, said, I don't even understand.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's start talking about some of the different things. Okay, now a lot of people who are involved in haunting research will look into parapsychology, you know, as kind of an area of study. And please forgive me. I hope I'm not repeating some things here, being redundant. I'm trying to focus on technical issues here too. And real quick, by the way. The chat room apparently is not available at the moment. I have to be able to get into the switchboard and start it, and I can't get into the switchboard on Blog Talk Radio. So as soon as I'm able to get in and start the chat up, I will announce it and let everybody know. Apologize for that. I don't know what's up with them tonight. But anyway, back to the parapsychological areas. What parts of a typical haunting-type investigation might fall under this parapsychology, Kevin?
Probably the, I would say sometimes possibly some different forms of clairvoyance, like the clairaudience, where a lot of times people hearing things, sounds and so forth, that might be a form of, almost like a form of psychometrizing, where the individual actually picks it up like a sensitive, intuitive nature, and it may not really be a ghost or a spirit that they're hearing in all regards. It could be a form of telepathy, something of that nature. So there's all different forms. You have telepathy, like we said before, the psychokinesis, definitely, the moving of objects and things of this nature. Could
yeah.
be from an individual, and it may not even be from the investigator. It could be from the client themselves.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, just a quick announcement. I was able to get the chat room opened up, so our listeners can try getting in there if they wish.
Well, you know, Kevin, I think one of the most interesting things, about psychokinesis, in particular in poltergeist activity, when it's associated with an agent, or is the strong correlation between the psychokinetic activity and it almost seems the amount of stress or anxiety the agent is undergoing at the time. And it's almost as if that energy is being released in the form of psychokinetic energy. I think, to me, the Tina Reich case was really remarkable in terms of how powerful her emotions were, you know, the events and the dynamics that caused those emotions, and the resulting psychokinetic movement of heavy furniture and things along those lines, even when she wasn't there.
Correct, right.
Incredible.
Which was a very unusual case, because normally it's within a certain location. This was great distance apart. And they even took her and tested her in an actual laboratory where they got results.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, as you said before, they try to stimulate her emotions in doing so, which they were successful in doing. So definitely there's a correlation between the two. And if they can get that proof in a scientific manner within a certain form of controlled area of, like in Tina's case, in a laboratory situation, then it definitely correlates the possibilities of that happening in all these different poltergeist activities in the normal household and so forth with the young adolescents and things like that.
Yeah, and I think for folks like, you know, that are serious and want to go out and investigate, that they need to make themselves aware of what the characteristics are of some of these poltergeist events, should they run into one.
Right. So they can at least have another possible conclusion. It may not be just pure spiritual in nature. We're not saying that it may not be, but at least that's another possibility that they need to explore and realize that, like you said, like we've been saying, that there could be the human aspects involved.
Yeah, but I think that carries over, too, into almost all of your investigations. You're going to see that, some aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, quick injection here. For those of us, I can't talk. For those of you listening, if you are trying to get into the chat, refresh your page, and the chat button should appear, and you can come on in. It's working now. So, one of the things that I wanted to talk about on this program is explore some areas that we might not typically think apply to parapsychology. We've already established that, you know, really parapsychology relates to the mind, correct?
Correct.
And frankly, you know, like we, Kevin, you and I were talking the other night, you know, anything, any paranormal events caused by the mind is parapsychology, right?
Correct.
Any paranormal event created by the mind is parapsychology. Well, you know, what other areas could fall under parapsychology? Obviously, hauntings. We've just been discussing that. Of course, spirits presumably can use PK to move things around, but so often it's the human agent. You know, one of the interesting things in alien abductions is how closely the abduction phenomena can parallel you know, a parapsychological case or even a haunting case. You know, we've probably discussed that a little bit on the show before, but not a terrible lot. But it's so interesting because some of the symptoms or the associated events with abductions is PK events. The abductee will experience things moving, you know, things turning on by themselves, you know, seeing things like apparitions or shadows out of the side of their peripheral vision and so forth. And it really makes you wonder what's at the root of all this. Makes me wonder.
Again, is it more psychological involved? I mean, is it their own mind trying to explain the unseen, the unknown? Again, maybe that's the parapsychology part of it. I think, Doug, like you were saying, there was another aspect of the of UFOs and abductions, and that was that idea of the being paralyzed. I forget exactly.
Well, yeah, we were talking about some of the different things. I mean, to me, and several of us have discussed this on Paranexus board, you know, a number of times in private. But if you take a look at some of the different phenomena that we're dealing with, you got to wonder how much of it is being created by the mind. I mean, for example, if you know people who fall asleep, you know, they go through the hypnagogic state. They might be susceptible to sleep paralysis combined with the hypnagogic state, which is the alpha state, quasi-dream state that can be very lucid. You know, could that be responsible for some of these abduction scenarios? Well, of course, the debunkers say, yeah, it's all responsible for all of it. I'm not prepared to go there. But it makes you wonder, to what extent does the human mind play a role in many of these common phenomena?
Well, again,
you know,
go ahead, Grant. Well, I'm just saying that dealing with the psychic, there's a psychic perilous, you know, involved when it comes to when you go into a out of body experience and you're in that same type of alpha state. Your whole body, you cannot move. You have that sense of, there's so many similarities between that and what abductees were saying many times.
Could you repeat that for me, Kevin? I'm sorry.
Psychic perilous state. There's a state when you go into an out-of-body experience, like astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in this meditated alpha state, basically you have that same sensation that what I've read quite a bit about with the abductees and so forth, with their there seems to be a moment there where they're paralyzed, they can't move,
mm-hmm.
they feel trapped, they feel totally out of control, like something's controlling their body, bringing them out. Well, that's basically almost a parallel to, in parapsychology, what they have been testing with remote viewing and distance telepathy and so forth with astral projection, out-of-body experiences.
Are you saying that the people who are experiencing out-of-body go paralyzed, for lack of a better term?
Basically, that's one of the stages at the beginning, yeah. Say literally almost. I'm sorry, go ahead, Grant.
I was just going to say, Dr. William Persinger up in Canada has done a lot of research. He has a thing, a little helmet, where he uses magnetic fields to stimulate folks' parts of the brain. And people have had very similar characteristics to hauntings and also to some alien abduction cases where they feel a presence in the room and they feel overwhelming feelings of being watched, a number of things. So, you know, with all the energy bouncing around, who knows? But I think the most interesting part about it is when you think about the power of the mind and what it can do, look at hysterical blindness or hysterical paralysis,
mm-hmm.
or look at hysterical. I'm not sure if people can. I've never heard. Well, I'm not ruling it out. I suppose somebody could become mute because of hysteria or seeing a traumatic event. So the mind has a tremendous ability. I don't think we give our minds enough credit or.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be a vast potential that's not being tapped into.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, because as we look and explore and do research on all of these different things, it keeps, at least for me, and I know we've talked about that, this Grant, you and I have a lot, it keeps coming back to the psychology. It keeps coming back to the mind. Now, I don't want to tell or act like a debunker. You know, we're not debunkers. We are open-minded researchers who are really looking for the truth, whatever that may be. And so I have no doubt that many of these abduction scenarios are not necessarily real abduction events, but can be a psychic abduction of sorts. It can be sleep paralysis. It can be hypnagogic state. I mean, the mind is a powerful thing. What we're trying to do is figure out, are there any commonalities that might differentiate a genuine abduction experience, if such do in fact exist, with a pseudo abduction experience. Now, either case is fascinating, you know, and I'm not trying, like so many debunkers, you know, well, it's not a real abduction. In fact, real abductions don't happen. Well, I can't say that. But regardless of why it's happening, it's still fascinating from a researcher point of view because we want to know, right? And we want to explore those limits of the human mind. So when we look at this stuff, what better tool to use than parapsychological technology?
And you and we what we really want to do is, you just put it, Doug, is just draw the distinction. That's what's most important. I mean, if these things are generated from our own mind, that's just as important to learn about, and that makes the whole phenomenon that much more fascinating as well.
Yeah.
Because if our mind can handle that and do that, I mean, as you said before, that would be neat right there, just as you said, to compare different cases.
Mm-hmm.
As I was saying before, possibly of out-of-body experiences and the sensations and the feelings and things of that nature compared to abductee cases. Because as you said, Doug, maybe there is a difference. Maybe there are a few characteristics that are truly and solely different. And maybe those need to be explored more.
And I agree. And, you know, I like to think of parapsychology as, you know, para meaning beyond psychology. It's so closely related to psychology, but it's really studying a different aspect of psychology in many ways. If we think of parapsychology beyond that. Even
I think it's really a courageous step for traditional psychology myself.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that Ryan and all of his colleages in the 1930s, wasn't it, Kevin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first
That's
form
when they
of
started.
Ryan Institute.
Yeah. At Duke University, yeah.
Yeah. It was just like a completely, you know, out there kind of stuff. And now I think that when psychologists decided that, hey, maybe there's more to this than we're really checking into, that's when they made a big step. Now, I think the unfortunate part, and this is just my own personal observation, is that many folks that are interested in doing hauntings, investigating hauntings or abnormal events, don't feel that parapsychology is all that friendly to them. I think they feel there's a dividing line. And I would say to them, embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace it. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to completely agree with it, but don't shy away from it. Take a really close look at it because it will make you a better investigator and your research will be better.
Here's a statement, a comment in the chat room. Are abductions similar to possessions? And I was just talking about this with Mike earlier tonight, Mike Jones, and I'm reading this book. This is fascinating, and I don't know if I've talked much about this book with you, Grant, or anyone else, but I'm reading a book I bought at a used bookstore. It's on abductions. It's from 1980, and I find it amazing and fascinating because many of the things that conclusions we're coming to are talked about in this book about the abduction phenomena. And they mentioned psychic abductions, where I haven't heard that phrase before in any of the books I've read in the more recent books. And so they mentioned psychic abductions. But there is this one case, which I'm just finishing up reading about it. It's a case that happened back in the early 70s. This actually was a ufologist that was the experiencer here, the abductee. He and a buddy were at a friend's house, and they were going to go home. It was about 2 in the morning. They walked out to their car, and they started it up. And when they turned the lights on, there was one or two entities in front of them. However, these entities were rather small. This guy said they looked like a brain, you know, a human brain, and it came up on the hood and was communicating telepathically with them. Well, then they took off running in their car, you know, they sped off and didn't really have much more happen. Well, under hypnosis, apparently they were abducted. And this ufologist, who wanted to remain anonymous, which struck me as a bit odd, he went through a couple of different regression sessions on different occasions, and he remembered more and more, and he remembered being taken aboard this craft. This brain-type entity was like almost a non-sentient, just a translator of sorts. There were some other humanoid forms manning the controls and stuff that didn't really pay attention to him. So he was shown some different scenarios on the Earth and about the world and yada, yada. Well, in the subsequent hypnosis session, he remembered even more, and he claimed that he was that they had implanted a translator or transmitter-type device in his head. It was the size of a cell, very small. He said it bridged the gap between his psychic abilities and his mind in an effort for him to be able to communicate with these alien entities. And they started to communicate, and it kind of took some time for it to, the connection to get strong and so forth. But toward the end, to kind of summarize it up here, he started getting information from them. And during this last hypnosis session that he did, he started remembering or getting this the prophetic visions and so forth. And among his prophetic visions were that in 1984, now this is all future at this point. This is back in the late 70s when these regressions were being done. But he claimed that in 1984 would be World War III, that by 1987 all nuclear weapons would be abolished and dismantled. And you know, he started rattling off all these predictions, of course, which never really did come true. But even further, he started claiming that these entities were almost constant communication with him, you know, chit-chatting, you know, in his mind. It was starting to annoy him, but they told him that he was given the seed to the universe and that he was going to be their spokesperson, so on and so forth. And then he was becoming annoyed with all this chit-chat, all these voices talking to him all the time. And, you know, as I read this experience, it really dawned on me how closely it resembled what we would call a classic possession type thing. And no, I'm not going to go into whether, you know, possessions are real and all that stuff, but the symptoms reminded me of a possession type thing. So now we see another instance where a number of things are at work. We see that an abduction scenario is now becoming so blurred that it resembles a completely different phenomenon, that of a possession. We also see the I'm special syndrome that we have noticed so many times. Hey, look at me. I've been given the seed to the universe. I am special. And so a fascinating case that really falls, in my opinion, under parapsychology.
And Doug, as you were describing that story, it sounds so much like somebody like a medium or a clairvoyant with their spirit guide.
Yeah.
Giving them the future precognition and giving them ideas of what's going to happen in the future, and that we will help you, we will guide you, we're going to give you the knowledge of the universe.
Yeah.
Because all of these thoughts and ideas are combined and they're out there, and you know, I mean, there definitely is a lot of similarities, and maybe the abduction cases and everything, I'm not saying that they're 100% true, but maybe a part of it could be their own modern day scientific, you know, with the media and everything, it's basically a scientific explanation of their own consciousness of maybe the evolution of these inner parapsychological talents that we all have that are innate inside of us. Maybe they're finally coming through, and this is the way people can possibly explain them or handle them. That's
possibility.
Just, you know,
I mean,
one theory.
Yeah, it's one theory, and you know, we can't completely dispute it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that Grant and I have talked a lot about on this show is the psychology involved. I mean, if you take, and this is my thinking, and I won't presume to think for Grant, but my thinking is, in the world of psychology, we're all different. We're all unique, right? I mean, you're special, you're unique just like the rest of us. We all react to things in a different way, you know, across the board. Stress, for example, we can react to stress in many, many different ways. It can be a skin rash or something, you know, that we get. It can be asthma. It can be a number of different things, our reaction to stress, headaches, muscle tension, and the list goes on. You know, we all react differently to things. So what's to say that when we have disorder in our life, when we have relationship problems, when we have cognitive dissonance from even religious things, when we have trouble in our life, what's to say that that is not manifesting in some different ways? For psychically sensitive individuals, it might be PK events, psychokinetic mm-hmm. events, things might move around for them. So they become the agent.
Yep.
What do you think, Grant?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, certainly, you know, you're the master of your own sickness or health. And, you know, look at all the dynamics that are involved between a doctor and a patient or a counselor and a client. If you believe in that doctor and that that doctor is going to help you, chances are you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So what? How do you measure something like that? How do you measure that kind of energy that's involved in that? And maybe it's just, you know, the power of belief, but also the power of the mind. The mind believes it's going to be cured. How would you explain placebo effect?
Yeah. Well, right. I think that's not what so much of this belief stuff is. I mean, Sharon in the chat room just made a comment.
And I think if you want to take it a step further, I think you might find that stigmata
mm-hmm.
might fall under that category as well.
Well, Sharon just made a comment. I'm hearing that the movie Paranormal Activity is causing people to go home and experience activity. Well, duh. I mean, there you go, right?
Yeah.
If you think it is so, there it is for you.
It's going to happen, correct.
Yeah. And what's to say that so much of the activity that people are experiencing fall into that arena, that venue?
And the sad part is that they may not be able to figure it out because they don't have the experience or they simply just don't have the knowledge of what might be occurring. So as a result, it's attributed to something paranormal or supernatural.
Yes, when it's really us or the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look at the broad range of parapsychology. I think that even as we discuss it, and at least for me personally, the whole field of parapsychology is expanding to new and different areas. For example, what if you grow up in the woods somewhere in the Pacific Northwest or wherever, even in Texas, Louisiana, even in Florida, you know, hearing about stories about Bigfoot or swamp ape? You know, here we are out alone on a lonely road. Could our mind generate something like that? Could it? You know, I think yes. So if that's the case, no different than ghosts. If I'm in a spooky place, if I'm on a ghost tour, and I'm that type of individual who's got that, I don't know, psychic sensitivity or who's prone to that, I might create that. Oh, yeah, I saw this guy. I saw this apparition. I saw this thing. But yet I was, you know, there in expectation. So it was fulfilled.
And then others would see the same thing through what? Other forms of parapsychological means, whether it be telepathy or...
Or not. Maybe nothing's there. Maybe something's there. But
or
I'm talking
something
about
that individual is putting there, yeah.
Right. It's a mental creation.
Right.
Well, I think, too, then when you start talking like that, then you need to start looking at things like the events that occurred at Fatima or Medjugorje, I think I may not be pronouncing it right, where people had mass hallucinations.
Right.
And so
right.
Then you have the power of, you know, there you have one common mindset. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and people claim that they saw the sun do loop-de-loops and
right.
Virgin Mary and all kinds of things. So, you know, who knows? Because, I mean, our minds also have the power to heal us. And in some of my work, I can speak personally that one of the things that I've always found remarkable is that people that I've helped that have been in very difficult and traumatic accidents, motor vehicle accidents, a number of things, or has been injured, very rarely do they ever remember what happened. They won't remember the event. So your mind is so powerful
mm-hmm.
that it blacks out. And people will say, I don't remember the accident I was in, but I remember everything about a week up until then. And then I remember when, you know, I got out of the hospital or I woke up out of a coma or something along those lines. So the mind is absolutely remarkable. It shuts down. It can shut down when it gets an overload. It's almost like a
circuit breaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and Sharon makes a comment, yet on the other hand, if we completely think that it's all in the mind, we may miss something that's real. And I couldn't agree more. And I don't want to give the wrong impression here. What we're trying to find out is what activity constitutes something separate and apart from human involvement, and what part of that activity is caused by human involvement. In other words, what part is the human mind? What part is not the human mind? And in our experience, we found that by far the vast majority of all these events have something to do with either the psychology of the witness. It was either misidentification or, you know, in some cases, even an outright hoax or fabrication.
Yeah, and then sometimes we've also suspected that these individuals have some types of abilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're sensitives, and they may
right.
not understand it or realize what's going on, and it's all in the interpretation. I mean, there's some people who claim to be sensitives, and they're not frightened anymore by what they experience. They accept it for what it is to them, for their perception. So, I mean, that's by far the most fascinating aspect, and parapsychology is, I think, will advance even farther into a lot of those subjects. I think personally, sometimes I think they've been a little bit limited, and I don't think they've been very successful in ever really nailing down psi events, have they, Kevin?
Not really, no.
It's a really difficult road to go.
Because, as you said before, you're talking about the mind. You know, it's not a scientific fact of being there and being, 100% all the time. I mean, it's very spontaneous, you know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, that I think was the problem with Ryan and all the others in the other times, is they were trying to measure it and mathematically and empirically try to measure it down so that these talents would happen 100% of the time. And, of course, you can. You're talking about the human consciousness. As you said, everyone's minds are different under stress, under emotion, happiness, sadness. You know, it's going to change, just like our emotions.
And I think the difficulty was, too, was that they even though they got statistically interesting results, they weren't seeing it on a continual basis.
Correct.
So that they could make a statement. They got tantalizing results that kind of tap danced around statistical significance, and that's what made it really rough.
Instead of trying to figure out, okay, fine, let's accept that maybe this does exist, so what?
Yeah,
well, there's
absolutely.
A big so what.
How can we apply this? That's what I would like to look more at, and that's what I'm hoping parapsychology is going to. That would relate to abductions and UFOs and all this other kind of things, maybe explaining another part of it, if we can only accept it. Yes, some of these things do actually happen. They do exist, not all the time, but if we can only accept them and apply them in such a way, maybe we can go from there.
Well, there were several articles on physicsorg.com over the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of research done over, I think some of it's done in the United States, and I think some has been done in the UK. And the research is that what they're doing is they're having people that are confined to their wheelchair bound, and they're actually being able to manipulate and move their wheelchairs by thought process alone. There's also some research going on now where they're trying to read people's thoughts. As strange and as bizarre and as far out science fiction as that sounds, it seems like we're edging closer to being able to do that.
I think
and,
so.
You know, that may have that may have some profound effects on how we, conduct research. And, to be able to measure or to be able to or to see the thought patterns on a sine wave printout or something like that, we can get that to some degree, but it opens a whole new area for exploration.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole purpose, Paranexus' mission is to study the human condition by way of anomalous phenomena. And to me, that's the most fascinating thing. And everything we're kind of talking about here really reminds me of a term that Grant coined, para-anthropology. I mean, if you think about it, and I love that term, para-anthropology. I mean, we're
Grant, just... you did copyright that, didn't you?
Yeah, Kevin, and God, you wouldn't believe the rewards I'm reaping.
There you go, all right.
pretty soon I'm going to start my own agency.
Yeah.
It just seems the crossover. I mean, you've got psychology, you've got anthropology, and you've got the nether area out there where it's just the mishmash of stuff. But you've got the power of belief, you've got the possibility of human beings having some sort of psychokinetic ability. And I mean, wow, what a powerful combination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, that's what's fascinating about this whole field. And as I've said several times, you know, if we're studying the human condition by way of anomalous research, what we're really looking for, and this is true for any researcher in any field, and especially in this field, what are we really trying to find out? We're really trying to answer one question, and that question all boils down to, who are we as a race? You know, what does it mean for us? What does an alien presence mean for the human race? What does life after death mean for the human race? That's what we're really trying to figure out, who we are, our identity, and where we fit in this grand scheme of things. So,
yeah, and you know, there's an old saying in the psychological world, and it says, if you don't understand yourself, you can't understand anybody else.
Yeah.
So as Kevin talked about earlier, we might very well be on some sort of psychological evolution, mm-hmm, that, you know, we have to go through before we're even prepared to take our first steps out there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're not even getting along with our next door neighbors yet, and we're talking about communicating with spirits or communicating with entities that we have no idea where they might originate from, or extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have our own house in order yet.
Yeah, well, amen to that one. So, you know, this is just such cool stuff, and this is what Paranexus is all about. For those who are new to Paranexus, for the concept, we study all anomalous phenomena and the relationship it has to the human condition. We want to know the truth, and if the truth is that it's all in our head, well, you know what? We want to know that. If the truth is that a lot of it's in our head, but some of it's not, we want to know that. We want to know, and we don't approach it with preconceived notions like so many of the debunkers and so many of the believers do. We just want to know. Sharon brings up an interesting point about the relationship between psychic sensitives and other equipment used on an investigation, and I just want to address that for a moment. You know, we regard psychics and sensitives, we're open to that. We use psychics and sensitives. We consider that another approach, another tool in the bag, as it were. And so it's different than other things that we use. We use lots of approaches, lots of different things, because we want to know what works. And so we don't, like so many of the scientific community, we don't put off.
We don't limit ourselves.
Yeah, we don't limit ourselves. We don't say, oh, yeah, psychics are a bunch of nuts. They're not. Gregory is a psychic medium, and he's on our board. And, you know, we use them. We want to explore that part because we believe there is something to the mind. As you said, Grant, earlier, you know, who knows the limits of the human mind? It's powerful.
Well, and the thing of it is that if what we're talking about interests you, I mean, we haven't had the opportunity to talk with Kevin as frequently as we would like, and we're hoping that down the road here, you know, Kevin is going to participate more and maybe even do his own radio show at some point, you know, about parapsychology, because, you know, we feel how important it is. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that if this sort of thing interests you, then come join us, because
yeah,
you're part of something bigger than, you know, we have a lot to offer you and your group. If, you know, not only from support, from logistical support, but from you can draw on whatever expertise you've accumulated to this point in time. So, you know, come on, join the party. You know, don't wait on it. If this sort of thing fascinates you, we welcome you with open arms. Come join and be part of us.
And I think that's something else we're going to be designing and expanding upon is the academy within the Paranexus also.
Tell them a little bit about that, Kevin.
Well, I'd like to explore more, and I'm trying, as the director of education, trying to get to the academy more instructors who possibly could explore different parts of the mind, whether it be out-of-body experiences, psychometrizing, things like this, that maybe some of the groups out there might be interested in exploring and seeing if they have the capabilities themselves. If anything, it could be another tool, as you said before, like in their bag, at least it will make them more sensitive when they are on an investigation or something of that nature.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping to expand our academy that we offer through Paranexus down the road.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great opportunity for folks that may have an area of expertise that they'd like to share or maybe instruct a class. I mean, if you're going to come to us, if we get a lot of requests to do like exorcisms, I can tell you right now, we're probably going to tell you no. Okay.
Correct.
I don't know. I'd like to research that part.
Yeah.
But
but you know, if you want to come to us and talk about belief systems that surrounded exorcisms, or you want to feel that you have some expertise in some particular area, whether it's UFOs, cryptozoology, ancient astronauts, whatever, you know. You know?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're here for. And this kind of brainstorming that we're doing tonight, we do on an individual level, too, you know. And we have discussions all the time because, you know, we have a big vision for where we're going. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to keep doing what we've always done so we get what we always got. Let's rethink it. Sometimes you do have to reinvent the wheel, and that's what we're about. And so we're looking for folks who are serious researchers, who are ready to go beyond the typical ghost hunting mentality. We are looking for people who have grown to the point where they understand that you cannot only study one portion of the field, such as hauntings, because there are several areas that overlap. We've already talked about abductions and hauntings. You know, they overlap. There's even some UFO incidents that could be parapsychological events. A typical sighting is probably not.
But there's some high strangeness things,
yes,
that, you know, that are out of the lines. But you know, I just think that Paranexus offers the person who's or the group, we offer them a lot of support, a lot of things just logistically that, you know, when you're forming a team or you're new in the field and you've got a team up and running, you got to do reports, you got to do all that. A lot of that you can do here electronically, and it's just like a great way to help you and your group get off in a serious fashion and to do some research that might contribute to the field with a lot less headaches. And we're saving you some of the headaches we went through, right, Doug?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we're happy to do it.
One of the things I love about the people at Paranexus is how grounded everyone is, you know, yet open-minded. I mean, we're all open to all of this stuff. I mean, even the fancy stuff. I mean, you know, there's been a big orb thing always going on, you know, about orbs. You know, orbs are spirits, orbs are dust. Well, which is it? Well, you know, let's look at the evidence. And when you really examine the evidence, you can't not conclude that they're dust. It's what it is. Now, there are balls of light that are seen with the naked eye that seem to be something which we don't understand. We have no basis yet to presume that they're paranormal in nature. They could be earthlights. They could be geophysical anomalies. They could be a lot of things, but we don't know that yet. And so when we look at evidence, we're very grounded. And I love that about Paranexus, you know, the folks that are attracted, they just won't go out on that limb without some support.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about us, too, and folks, you know, probably don't know this, is that we have a lot of discourse, informal discourse. Like, you know, it's like belly up to the bar at Paranexus. You want to join and jump in the group, we're always willing. Come in, you can come and present whatever it is that you feel is important, and we will more than likely listen to you and be happy to listen to you. We may not agree with you, or we may agree with you, but, you know, we're going to take a close look.
Open up our eyes for different things, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we welcome discourse. We always have and always will.
So that having been said, Kevin, you know, for those who want to learn more about parapsychology, what would you recommend?
There are different, like I said, our academy, we are going to explore and advance more courses in it, in different forms of it. But there are possibly in their local areas, if they want to look into, there's many community colleges now and so forth that are starting to offer. There are, in high schools and things like that, community classes that they can take. There are workshops and conferences. I think in Paranexus, I think we were even thinking, Doug, about possibly offering something like that more,
mm-hmm.
workshops or something locally,
mm-hmm.
even in local
mm-hmm.
areas.
Mm-hmm.
I was even
mm-hmm.
thinking of possibly just going out to the public a little bit more. But there are ways that the public and listeners can reach and find out more about these different areas to explore through things like that. They have to look in the newspapers. They have to look online. But the public places are the first places to go. Public libraries many times offer these type of programs.
And we'll be putting our Paracycle program together mm-hmm. at Paranexus Academy, as Kevin mentioned. And honestly, the CPI course has a lot of parapsychology in it, too, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, because we talk about the mind, we talk about the relationship you have with you, how important it is to be grounded, and all those things which come into play on any kind of research. So, you know, it's a fascinating field, and we're taking a new look at it, and that's the basis of this program tonight, because just to kind of summarize a little bit, you know, we've talked about how parapsychology can obviously cover haunting type events. We've discussed how it can cover even if some abduction type events, and perhaps more than we may know. We've talked about even some cryptozoological and then maybe even a few UFO sighting type events and other anomalous type phenomena, things moving on their own when nobody seems to be around, doors opening, lights going on, TVs turning on, that kind of a thing. So, you know, it's a fascinating field. There was a thought I had that came into that. Let me just rethink it for a bit.
Well, you know, one of the things that, Kevin, you did a terrific presentation at a Paranexus conference, and one of the examples you used was, I think it was an old episode from TAPS, and it was when Jason and Grant had a gentleman who claimed to have psychic abilities, and Jason was resistant.
Right.
And you could see, I'm not sure, was it what type
it
of camera?
It was through a thermal. It was a thermal IR
imager.
Thermal
imager. Tellarize that.
And you actually saw a form of colorful, almost like an aura of energy, flowing through the one gentleman, the so-called, I don't know if he was psychic or intuitive or whatever, but he was mm-hmm. trying to read the one from TAPS while the other was filming this, and you saw him basically resenting being read, and you actually
right.
saw a different color coming out of around his aura and affecting the other one, almost pushing it back.
Yep.
So it's almost like the energy of the mind is actually visible mm-hmm. in certain cases.
But you know, Kevin, you brought up such a great point, though. That energy mm-hmm. may manifest itself in heat.
Right.
And you know, and that part was just absolutely fascinating to me, because I never kind of thought of it that way. So even if it's a heat exchange, it's doing something. It's changing whatever particles or energy is around there as well. It was a fascinating demonstration that you did for us in that presentation, because
that is in fact one thing that I'd like to explore, you know, in the future, definitely, is to look at something like that.
All we need is a benefactor that wants to share like $7,000 for a thermal imager. We'll even let you make settings on it every once in a while.
Any donations would be appreciated. Definitely.
Yeah, we'd be happy to take a thermal imager.
But I'll tell you, there are a lot of thermal imagers out there. From what I heard, all we need is somebody that's possibly in building inspection
uh-huh.
or fire. Because
uh-huh.
When I've tried to myself even look at this to do my own research, I mean, I know what you're talking about. Unfortunately, a lot of these technology is very, very expensive. But a lot of it is being used today in just everyday jobs that people have.
Yeah.
And if it's possible that there's somebody that's a part of Paranexus or in a local area that would like to investigate that, I would love to hear from them. Because I have some great ideas, definitely. We definitely could do something with that type of material.
And, our own Mike Jones is doing some work with some electronic equipment. And you know, if you're somebody out there that is an electronic whiz and you're thinking about some new device you'd like to talk about or you'd like to make us aware of that you think is going to be of some value in the investigative field, let us know. Share it with us.
Yeah, definitely. So let me, since we're talking about that whole thing and we've just got about 5 or so minutes left, let me kind of give an update on a couple of things that are happening at Paranexus. We, as many of you know, if you've been following, we've recently incorporated as a nonprofit corporation here in Florida, and we've been preparing our 501c3 tax-exempt application. We've just had it reviewed by a professional bunch who are themselves a charity, and we're making a couple of revisions on it quickly. We hope to be able to file that in the next couple of days, so we're going that direction. So we're going to be dependent on public support. You can't be a nonprofit without public support, so we certainly appreciate folks who are members of Paranexus, because that goes to supporting us, to supporting the association, donations, of course. You know, we're looking for that, and we'll be looking for more. We're going to try to apply for some grants once we become approved as a tax-exempt nonprofit, and that will hopefully give us some funds in which we can use to the benefit of everybody. I mean, we would like to be able to get a thermal imager. We would love to be able to get a little bit of equipment that could even potentially be loaned out at times, depending on the investigation. We'd love to find somebody in the area who has a travel trailer they don't want anymore, so we can use it as a kind of a research vehicle, a command center, if you will, when we're on site. You know, we're looking for that, for those types of people who can share not only their finances in terms of membership use, but also their expertise, their knowledge, their approach, their unique thinking about things, because we all sharpen each other. And we can't do this alone. This is not a one-person thing or a two-person thing. This is a community effort, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, so many groups talk about let's share, let's share, let's share, and so many don't. Well, we're saying the same thing. We're getting people who come together and do. And so, we're happy about that. One of the things that is going to change, I need to announce, we announced in the newsletter today, is that the board of directors has met. They met last Sunday night, and we discussed membership dues. We've taken a look around at many of the other nonprofit associations, and we've decided to bring our membership dues a little bit in line with some of the others. So there is going to be a membership due increase effective December 1st. So if you're thinking about joining Paranexus, you can still join at the current lower rates until December 1st. So you might want to check that out. Just visit paranexus.org to do that, and we would love to have you as a member. And don't forget, members, that you do get web space, web hosting along with your membership. So that's going to save you some bucks right there. You know, you set up a website, it's the real thing. So,
and we're constantly working and brainstorming to try to figure out other things that we can provide to you through Paranexus as a member that you're not going to get anywhere else. And as it stands right now, if any of you folks out there listening are members of professional organizations, you know that a lot of times you pay your money in and maybe the most you get is a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You might get some updates on email and you may get some other information, but by and large, you're paying for the membership and not getting a lot out of it. And with Paranexus, we want to make sure that you get the most, that you're on the cutting edge of research in the field, and we're here to assist, and we're going to think of more things we can provide to you in the future.
Yep, so we're really running out of time here. We've done our NPR radio thing tonight. Being with us. And Kevin, you know, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Hope to have you back again soon. And,
sure. Great having you, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate everybody's time tonight, our listening audience. Glad you came. Next week, Mark Anthony, psychic lawyer Mark Anthony, is going to be back with us, probably taking calls again. So join us next week. And until then, we hope you have a great week. See you at paranexus.org. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
the night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paramex's universe.